And we're back. Taylor Report, CIUT, 89.5 FM, CIUT.FM. Donate. You can do that, you know. You're around. Our guest is Ted Schmidt. Ted Schmidt is a, I said before, is a legend in the peace movement in Toronto, Canada, actually internationally. I have a expression I want to use. Ted rode with the Berrigans. And welcome to the show.
Great to be here, Phil.
Let me just say something quickly about the Berrigans. You did ride with the Berrigans.
And yes, I knew them both, and buried Phil in Baltimore. And yeah, they were incredibly important in my own life.
They really had impact.
They had powerful impact. They were the best example of what a Christian should be.
I think of them as three. It was the two brothers and a sister, right?
They had another brother, too.
Yeah.
Who was very good. He was a teacher in Syracuse. He was very progressive as well.
And they were poets and creative people.
Incredible.
And the real deal, they paid the price, too. One or both went to prison, jail, briefly. But I don't want to get distracted from something.
Yeah.
Ted, I know, is very concerned, and actually, I want to start with the fact that we have a kind of a hidden news story. We spoke about it on this show, that Stephen Lewis, who is one of the best-known political figures in Canada, a long history, served as ambassador to the United Nations. He'd been the NDP leader, and, of course, from a political family that has had impact. In the last months of his life, you'd know better than I, but he chose to take a stand against the attacks on Gaza by Israel, and he I'll have you tell the story, but my rough understanding is contacted you, came to your vigil, which is every Thursday in Toronto, and held up a sign protesting and calling on Canadians to reject the Israeli policy on Gaza and behavior. Our so-called media, whose job it is to report to Canadians things that are happening, never reported it, to my knowledge.
No, they didn't. And I only made two calls. We don't promote ourselves. We show up on the street with a sign that Mr. Lewis held up, never normalize genocide. And he called me. I don't know how he got my name, but he did. And he asked me to invite him in. I said yes. And then I knew who I was talking to. And so I called the two major newspapers. The only phone call we've ever made. We don't promote ourselves. People suddenly came, largely because of Charlie Angus, said that there's this fantastic, we've been going for 2.5 years. And you would have thought that the most famous Jew in the country, who was making a statement, who was coming really out of the closet against Zionism,
yes,
was going to be present. They never showed. And this is just so typical why people are fed up with the legacy newspapers.
Can I ask you about that? You told them, so what was their reaction? Didn't they say, well, we're going to send somebody?
Oh, no, no.
They said, we're not. How did they react?
They didn't react at all. And Stephen said to me, Ted, if they show up, he figured they would because, you know,
yes,
he's a very most important Jew in the country, our former ambassador to the UN. And so he said, I will tell them, no, I am a guest here. Mr. Schmidt is just a citizen,
yes,
of being a democratic presence on the streets against the genocide in Gaza.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're used to that. You know, the legacy newspapers are just terrible.
But it is an insult to the figure of Stephen Lewis not to engage him because he, as you point out, he had been a spokesperson for the country.
Oh, sure.
He was a popularly elected leader, and everybody always said one of the most articulate politicians in Canadian history. And these people were his peers. All of our leading politicians were peers. And then he says something, and they go silent. That's highly disrespectful. Well, I would say disrespectful to the Canadian people. Why do you identify him as one of your spokesperson, and then you don't want to talk to him because he changed his opinion on one subject?
Well, as you know, I've been at this a long time, and I'm not surprised that Zionism has been so deep into the Canadian fabric at every level. And the legacy newspapers are terrible. The Globe, Marshall Letterman and Robin Urbach, two Jewish columnists, never use the G word. They never talk about genocide, and this is who they are. Our prime minister doesn't use that word. And so this is what we're dealing with. We have to go and find alternatives like you and other people and podcasts. This is where we're getting most of our information.
You're right. And by the way, there are some alternative news outfits that are really powerful now. People do not have to, turn to CNN or CBS. I can't even remember what that is now, because they can go online and they find people that they have some confidence in. And also, by the way, search out foreign news services. There is, for example, in Israel, the paper Haaretz.
Yes.
I call it a paper. I don't know if they have a paper anymore. I guess so.
They do.
But, now, by the way, their views were never made known here and still are not in mainstream media, yet it's a major news outlet.
We've never seen any of Gideon Levy or Amira Haas, the great writers there, or the editorial board. We've never seen any of their publication, any of their articles in Toronto newspapers. But I'd like to deviate here a little, Phil, because, as you know, there was a mass walk in New York City for Israel. Mamdani said, no, I will not be going. I'm the mayor of New York. But then yesterday in Toronto, well, we had 60,000 Jewish people. But I'd like to read what Gideon Levy said.
Go ahead.
I'm a subscriber.
He was writing apropos of the New York.
He was writing in May 24th in Haaretz. And it's quite extraordinary. This is what he said. Whom are you saluting? The year's 2026. How can you continue parading as if nothing happened? As if Israel has not committed crimes? As if it hadn't turned into a pariah state across the world? And only in New York you march, waving the flag? Are you not ashamed? There's also no better proof of this blindness and of the automatic nature of the support of Israel among the Jewish Zionist establishment than these parades. The cloying, sycophantic parade will take place this year as well, even this year. The storm will rage around and the genocide too, and they'll salute Israel. This year, more than any other, one should direct questions to people who still take part. Why are you marching? Whom are you saluting? Whom are you embracing? Do you seriously believe that Israel in 2026 deserves a parade expressing support on the streets of your city? What for exactly? What is there to salute? A state that has killed more than 70,000 people in Gaza while raising their lands? A state that has displaced millions of people across the Middle East, rendering them homeless with no remaining possessions? A state that has made tens of thousands of children disabled or orphans? A country that cruelly abuses thousands of Palestinian detainees as well as hundreds of conscientious people who try to reach Gaza by sea. Yeah. So yesterday, I watched the news yesterday, and we saw 60,000 Jewish people, and I looked, and they were beautiful people. I know people that were in that march. As you knew, I grew up in the Jewish community. These are wonderful people. There were children dancing around. But these people have not really understood. They're still locked into a Zionist understanding of the beautiful Israel. That is dead because of the computer. People have now seen what has happened. And they're making their own mind up and they're walking. So, for instance, were these people like those 500 Jews took over Grand Central Station and then the Statue of Liberty, 2 months into this genocide.
Yes.
And what did they wear on their shirts? These were all Jews, not in my name.
Yes.
So there's still a great number of Jewish people, wonderful
yes.
people.
Yeah. By the way, we interviewed on this show one who participated, actually, a rabbi in Hamilton.
Yes, I know Meviser. He's one of the few. But there's only one rabbi in the United States, a brilliant man named Brent Rosen, who said his congregation, his shul, is anti-Zionist.
Well, of course, this would be the whole history of the struggle
yeah.
within the Jewish community over whether or not there should be a state and what, and would it be two states? I mean, incidentally, one of the things that strikes me that is not reported enough is that Netanyahu, the prime minister, recently said, and he's talking about only himself. I'm what is standing between us and the recognition of a Palestinian state.
Oh, yeah.
And what he means is there will be no, he's taking it upon himself to tell the world there won't be a Palestinian state. Now, everybody laughs or downplays the subject of the two-state. But the reason you have to mention it is that that was the United Nations
yeah.
solution. That
right.
is the world's solution, and it has not been abandoned
no.
by the major states of the world. Even the United States pays lip service.
Right.
It's lying, but they pay
right.
lip service.
Right.
But the rest of the world's people say, of course, there has to be a Palestinian state. He says never, and the Knesset has voted. There won't be. A Palestinian
yeah,
state.
But we know from our vigil, we count the honks of the horns that are going down for 2.5 years.
Counting honks,
everybody knows. The number of people that stop and say thank you, we know what's going on. I mean, the computer and social media changed the whole understanding.
Well, also, we are, and I know that some see this as the problem, people like Paul Lev and others who... The fact is that Canada now, and particularly Toronto, has a population, of, the demographics are, that people from all over the world
yeah.
now live here. They have their own knowledge.
Without, right.
They don't even need a radio, TV, or anything else. They know who they are,
yeah.
and they know how history unfolded for them.
That's
people
right.
from India, people from Pakistan
oh, yeah.
and Africa. Caribbean, they know.
It's a new ball game, and social media has changed it. I can't believe I've been at it, as you know, a long time. And I knew that these people, the 60,000 people, were decent people. You know, these are lovely, well, lovely people. But there's those other side that have understood. They've lost the there's a civil war in the Jewish community. They've lost the next generation of young Jews.
We'll see.
Yeah. Oh, there's no doubt about it. I mean, when you take a look yeah. at the encampments, 117 well, encampments.
I never count the game over till the fat lady sings. But I want to ask you this apropos of that.
Yeah.
Avi Lewis has made, I think, brilliant statement about this.
Yeah.
Because he was asked about his father. He said when his father went to your vigil, the vigil you sponsored or
yes.
organized.
Yes.
He said that was the proudest moment for him of his father because that was courageous. And when he's asked about the issue of Zionism, anti-Zionism, he says he's not comfortable with that because he thinks that the Jewish population, not, by the way, I would tell him that includes the rest of us too, are on a journey. It's not a static situation.
No, it's...
And
it's,
depending, now, you called out the issue of the murderous assault on Gaza. Well, as human beings all over the world, there was a mood shift when they saw what happened. And I shouldn't call that past tense, what
no.
is happening.
It's in flux, and you can see by all of the polls that in the States, more people now understand that the Palestinian narrative is the correct one. Yeah. So in 1948, when the state was brought into existence,
there was very little understanding.
No, yeah. people didn't understand.
And they, by the way, they couldn't look it up. Like you just mentioned, being
yeah.
able to find it. I read several. I love to watch the comments on a Globe article in the New York Times. I like to read the comments.
Yes, me too.
And many of the course people said, well, you know, I was shocked. So I looked it up. In other words, people started doing their homework. You're a retired teacher.
Yeah.
When you find a student that does his homework, you know this kid's got a future, right?
Well, you know, there's a gentleman that started. He is on email, and he sent this email to me. He said when October 7 happened, he rushed down to Queen's Park. He was all for in solidarity with the Jewish people that were killed that day. Mm-hmm. But he saw a sign that said, Google Nakba. He never heard the word Nakba.
And that's a sign said, Google it.
Google it. He went home. In 24 hours, he had read about it, and he had totally transformed his understanding. Yes. So in the capitalist system that we're in, infinite capacity to not be aware of things. Right. You know, it's hockey night in Canada, you know, and Celine Dion and all this nonsense. People can't pay attention. Yes. But now it's on their phones. Yes. And they've seen it, and they've been horrified.
Yes.
And so our signs were simple. Don't normalize a genocide. This is 2026. Yes. Or we started 2024.
Yeah. By the way, let's emphasize, you have a vigil every Thursday.
8 o'clock.
Eight o'clock. Those are serious people. You can find parking at 8 o'clock. So where are you?
Well, it's at Kingston Road in Victoria Park, and a massive number of people have to go along Kingston Road to get downtown Toronto. And so I had been doing this as a teacher at Neil McNeil. We were up there vigiling against, whatever issue was. I mean, my students were always engaged. Yeah. And so, you know, that corner was mine. I grew up in the neighborhood, and I knew 50,000 people go by all the time, and they talk about it. And so
I think that's brilliant. And you know something? You have great photographs of yourself and Stephen Lewis and others there. I think you said his daughter came with him.
His daughter, Alana, worked at the United Nations and took pictures, and he was very generous with the people.
I have to make sure that we have a Facebook, the Taylor Report, and we're going to put those pictures up because, the old story, one picture is worth 1,000 words. And given the fact there was no reportage, the story is the fact that there was no story.
That's right.
But that photograph, he's a smiling, he always had a positive attitude, smiled, he could really handle himself.
Oh,
and it was
great
to see that.
Yeah, when I saw the evening news when he died, and I saw this picture of me with him, and I said, who took that picture? But it was Alana's picture.
Yeah.
They're smart. They made it aware to the people that their father was out there.
It's still a story coming into being. It's not it's not an old story. It's a story that has not been reported.
That's right.
And it is getting out. Because, it's a little bellwether. It's a kind of, it also helps us, and I think Avi did address this very well, that people are, because they see a human crisis, and they react as human beings, and they start to vote, as we used to say, vote with their feet. They say, I'm going to go with this group, I want more information. But by the way, Naomi Klein has spoken to this brilliantly.
Oh, absolutely.
She gave a speech in New York City about a year ago now, I believe.
It's in my new book that
and
I'm
she was calling
on.
For, she yep. says, yep. We have to liberate ourselves from this ideology.
Got rid of the Zionism, she
said. And she says, we have a choice. It's not one choice. We have choice,
we
have to make the right one. Anyway, we should, all of us, I was thinking we should get that text because it is very well done.
Well, I've written a book that's in the library already. It's just talk about my journey. I was a Catholic Zionist.
Continue.
I grew up in the Jewish community. I knew nothing, but I had friends who had no aunts or uncles. But I'm 12, I play on Jewish ball teams, and I experienced anti-Semitism because, you play for Harvard, you must be a Jew.
We had plenty of organized, civilized anti-Semitism. They pretended it was just the way things were.
That's right.
Yeah, you have a great history. People should get that book.
Well, it's in the library. I was a Catholic Zionist in the Toronto Library, and it's a pretty good popular understanding.
I have to, by the way, I have to quickly ask you a question because I always had this on my mind.
Yeah.
The term Catholic Zionist is actually almost an oxymoron because it was the so-called Christian Zionists are actually the Protestants.
Yes.
They're the ones that had a fixation on the ingathering of Jews.
That's right.
Because they wanted the Messiah to come back and pass judgment.
Oh, yeah, the Christian
Zionists. But the Catholic Church did not buy into that.
Not at all. You know, the Christian Zionists, and they know no theology. They're very illiterate. And they read the scripture as if it's a newspaper fundamentalist. I mean, it's just an embarrassment.
I knew a guy from Kansas. He said, I read the Bible kiver to kiver. And every word is true.
Oh, exactly.
I mean, and you say, oh, let me out of here. Is that front door locked? Well, very Phil, quickly, I got to get Ted Schmidt's opinion of the new pope.
Oh, well, when I heard he took the name Leo, I knew.
On a, 1 to 10, where would you put him?
I put him very high. He's
great.
Following with Francis. He's putting the Catholic Church back in the side of the weak, the poor, where we should be, and a part of social justice. This is what's kept me being a Catholic all these years. You know,
he doesn't seem to be afraid of Trump.
No.
They didn't have popes that were afraid of Trump.
Well,
afraid of the U.S. president.
Well, they've had cardinals in New York. It was an embarrassment. I mean, he used to chum with Trump, and they got rid of him when he had to retire. They said, thanks very much for your service, but you're gone. No, he's a good one.
Yeah.
This pope is fine, and it'll be good for the history of the church, I think.
Well, we want to follow that because the church has always played a big role. I remember the last pope went to the West Bank, right?
Yes, he did.
And he visited the wall.
Yes.
I mean,
but let me tell you, Phil, I go into churches around where we vigil, and I call myself a roaming Catholic, and I go into different churches, introduce myself to the ministers, and they're afraid. They're afraid of being called anti-Semite. They don't show up on our vigils.
Yeah.
It is shocking, you know.
Well,
and but it's in evolution. It's very
unfortunately
sad.
A lot of politics is based on fear and what is called leverage.
That's right.
And the media plays leverage games all the time.
You've got to get over the fear.
Yeah.
This is a country doing terrible
people
things.
People have to develop or perfect their conscience. Ted Schmidt, it's really wonderful to have you. We've got to have you back because there's tons of things to talk about. Thanks
for
that article from Haaretz by
Gideon Levy.
Yeah,
May 24th, right out of Haaretz. I read it every day. I paid $130 every year for 15 years.
And I'll bet it's worth it.
Worth it.
Thank you very much. This is the Taylor Report, and we were talking to Ted Schmidt. We have a little peace music for you, and we'll see you next week.